We are thrilled you could join CWH today for the start of our series on a few men of the Bible where we can take lessons from their lives. Today's message from my dad, Pastor Salem, Noah, great man of God in a world of sin, speaks to how God used Noah to save the world from extinction.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has rolled by, and we are so happy when the weekend comes so we can come to visit you. And I hope you'll open your doors and let us in, because we've got a wonderful sermon today about Noah and the flood. I love to preach about Noah. And so you're just going to get blessed whether you want to or not. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many wonderful letters. And at the close of the service, I'm going to give the address so you get there with your pencil and paper. We'd like to hear from you. And if you'd like to write, why, then you'll be all set. But our first letter comes from Redfield, South Dakota. And this person writes, I've been homebound since the summer of 2004, the result of a stroke. I look forward to your worship service on Sunday mornings. And so we are so happy that we can minister to this dear brother in Redfield, South Dakota. There are three things in the Christian worship hour, three goals. First goal is to honor God, to please God. The second is to win people to Christ, to have them come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And the third is to help the people of God, like God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And so we're so glad we can comfort this dear brother and help him. Here's Spring Valley, Minnesota. I've asked Jesus into my heart, so I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Can you help me? Now, this is a lady, and she's writing, and she's accepted Jesus, and now she's waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, let me tell you a little secret. The Bible teaches as plain as day, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, that when we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit applies the blood of Christ and washes away our sins. And then the Holy Spirit takes us, a poor lost sinner, and he puts us into the body of Christ. And that process where he takes us as poor lost sinners, cleanses us, and puts us in the body of Christ is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that happens when you accept Jesus. And so once you've been baptized, once you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit enters our life, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And Jesus said he'd be with us forever. Ephesians 1, verse 13 backs that up. So the thing to pray is that you yield to the Holy Spirit, that you listen to the Holy Spirit, that you obey the Spirit of God as he talks to your heart. Here's a letter I just love, Worthington from Worthington, Minnesota. This is from a gentleman. Listen to this, everybody. Another year has rolled by. I am now 103 years old. I so enjoy your messages, and the first pastor I remember in my church drove horse and buggy in about 1920. He retired. He went back to Chicago. My dad bought his horse, Kate, and the buggy. I rode to town in the buggy with my mother. She drove up to the livery stable, and they took care of the horse while my mother and I went uptown to do our trading. Trading was right, as mother took eggs and traded them for groceries. People seemed more religious in those days and appreciated life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'll see you again next Sunday. Keep up the good work. In God's love, and then he signs it. Listen to his name, Harold. Harold, don't you love that name? I just think it's so, and here is a dear brother, 103. His name is Harold. Now, I can't prove this, but I heard that originally God had everybody's name was Harold. And then one day he said, all right, now all you that sin, change your name. Now, I can't prove that, but it sure sounds reasonable to me. And I'm glad my mother named me Harold, because that's what everybody calls me. So here's a dear brother, Harold. Oh, I just can't wait to see him in heaven. Won't we have a party? One more letter I want to share. Alexander, North Dakota. And this person writes, I've asked Jesus into my heart. I pray to Jesus two or three times a day, and each time I ask him into my heart. Now, let me tell you something, my dear friend. You need to only ask Jesus into your heart once, just once. Jesus said you must be born again. Now we're born again physically once. We're born again spiritually once. Jesus didn't say you must be born again and again and again. It's just one time. And so when you make that prayer and you just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I've sinned against you and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins and I'll turn from my sins." Jesus taught repentance. Jesus taught eternity, told the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. And what he was saying is you can't live that lifestyle anymore. You got to put those old ways behind you. And so I just say, just Jesus, I ask him, please come into my heart. Take away my sin. I'll turn from my sin the best way I can. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank him for saving you because that's exactly what he did. And so when you pray to Jesus, it says, "Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Paul told the Philippian jailer, and he wanted to be saved. And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And so praise God. And if you want more literature, you write to us. We'll sure help you out. But we got to look at Noah here. I love to preach about Noah. His name means rest or quiet. And when he was the son of Lamech, and he was the 10th in descent from Adam, so he's at the very beginning of time. And except for the record of his birth, the Bible doesn't tell us a thing about him until he's 500 years old. And at 500 years old, we're told that he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they were all, of course, born before the flood. And then when Noah was 600 years old, he entered into the ark. And after the flood, he lived 350 years. So Noah was 950 years old. Now Jesus talked about Noah, and this is what he said. "But as in the days of Noah," well, he starts out by saying, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He's talking about when he comes again. He says, nobody knows, but the Father in heaven knows when it is. Then he goes on, Jesus says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus draws a parallel between the evil days of Noah and the evil days in which we live. And by George, I think we've probably got worse days than Noah, and Jesus could come at any minute, even before this service is over. And maybe some of you will pray it'll come and end this thing mercifully, this sermon, because I don't know. But I just love to preach and tell people about Jesus. There's always hope. And so we're living in the days of like Noah. He says, they ate and they drank. Now, there isn't anything with eating and drinking except when you leave God out, when you don't have God in the picture, when you live like they say, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and who will tell what shall be after the sun?" And then Noah, and then our Lord said, marrying and giving in marriage. Marriage is an institution by God, one man and one woman. And God says they were, and he's saying it's wrong when you marry outside of God. The sons of men became married the daughters of God, the daughters of men, the sons of God married the daughters of men. And God says it's evil and it's wrong in his sight. He says marriage is honorable in all, but when God is left out, it's wrong and it's evil. And then he says, he talks about planting and buying and selling and building. None of these things are wrong unless we leave God out of the picture. And in Noah's day, that's what they did. They thought of only earthly things. Their treasure was in the earth alone. They cared only for the material things. Materialism was their sin. And that's why Lot settled in the Jordan Valley. He saw that everything was well watered everywhere. They had a lot of pastures. He could raise a lot of animals and grow a lot of crops and make a lot of money. And that's why he just couldn't hardly leave Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's why Lot's wife turned and looked back. That's where her heart was. That was his. It was materialism. And so God says that that's the way they lived. And the storm of God's wrath broke upon them and they all perished in the flood. And Jesus said the same thing is going to happen when Jesus comes again. And people won't be ready for it. And so the judgment came upon them and the judgment is going to come upon us when Jesus comes again. Now, Jesus said the flood came, and he says they knew not. They knew not until the flood came. The judgment of God is coming, but they weren't ready. They knew not. Now, why didn't they know? God gave them all kinds of warnings and all kinds of to let them know that about the coming of the Lord. God did everything he possibly could to call the people of Noah's day to repentance. He did everything he possibly could to tell them of the impending judgment of God. He knew the judgment. God knew the judgment was coming about it. But he couldn't get people to listen. And I preach my head off. And you listen and you won't pay attention and you stay in your sins. And then when Jesus comes again and you perish in hell, then you'll know, but it'll be too late. Now you ought to know, because God gives us, he over and over, he tells us and warns us. In Noah's day, he did several things. For instance, he gave them a preacher to warn them. Genesis 6, verse 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Now, when it says he's a perfect man, don't take that wrong, because in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean that sinless, but it means that he was an all-around good man. That's what it means. And so he was that kind of a person. And Noah was a good, upright man. And the world was filled with violence and evil and all of the rest. But in the spite of it all, Noah lived for the Lord. And so we don't care what the day may bring. When we don't care how evil it becomes, we can still live for Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what we see on television and write in the books and hear the talks of men and hear the atheists and all curse God and all of the rest of it. Why, we can be like Noah and we can be like Job. We can be righteous. We can live the Christian life. We can love the Lord and live for the Lord. Don't try to hide behind the sins of another age, because you're going to have to answer for yourself. So Noah preached, and Noah preached in two ways. He preached by word from the pulpit, and by deed. When he preached from the pulpit, he preached of warning is coming. I'm warning you of the judgment of God. There was a prophet who preached the very same message and the very same time that Enoch preached, Noah preached. His name was Enoch, and we got what Enoch preached. Here's what he preached. Behold, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are under ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their ungodly speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude 14 and 15. So the word is as clear as a bell. But the people wouldn't listen. They wouldn't have any part of it. And so this wonderful thing, the judgment is coming, and we know that, and we made provision. I made provision for it, and many others have too, because we have turned, we've repented. We've turned from our sins as best we can. We've asked Jesus to come into our heart, and you can do the same thing. And when you ask Jesus into your heart, he says, I will come into your heart, and I'll wash away your sins. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. And, oh, God, do you need to do that? And I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's a whole world out there that don't know anything about it, or they won't listen. And we beg, and we preach, and we teach. And then Noah did more than that. He did more than preach. He lived it. He built an ark. And you know how built the big ark was? It was a football field and a half long. So, yeah, that was a monstrosity out in the back pasture. And you never read of rain until the flood came. There was a dew that watered the earth, but you never hear of rain. And so here he's building this ark, and oh, how they must have laughed at him. They laughed at us as Christians today. And so but see them building that ark, and they, oh, Noah, what in the world are you going to do with that? There's miles before you get to water. How are you going to get that big thing? And on, you can imagine, can't you? And so God gave them Noah. He preached, and he in word and in deed. And then they gave him time to repent. Godly Enoch had a son. He named him Methuselah. And when those days, the name meant something. And the name Methuselah means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. That is the flood. And so this little baby's born is Methuselah. And God says, you name him Methuselah, because when he dies, I'm going to send the flood. That's exactly what he's saying. And what do you know? Who lived the longest of all the men in record in the Bible? Methuselah, 969 years. And why did he do that? Because God is patient. He knows that when Methuselah dies, that flood is coming. He let him live longer than any man of record in the Bible. He was a long suffering of God, so maybe he'll come, and maybe that's why Jesus isn't coming right today. Maybe that's why the persecuted church has to be persecuted. He's waiting for you to come and call on the name of the Lord, and why don't you do it? Instead of being so stubborn and sitting there, mostly the men, but the women need to turn too, but in my ministry, it's the men. They just hate to give in for some reason, I don't know. And God says, what you're going to do, you're going to keep saying no. You're going to say no, no, no. And every time you say no, you get harder and you get tougher. And the Holy Spirit talks at you and he's going to try to bring you to Christ. And you say no, 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 you won't listen. And so you get so hard, like Pharaoh hardened his heart. The plagues of Egypt didn't touch him. And there'll come a day when you refuse Jesus Christ so many times, you'll be so hard you'll never hear the Spirit talking to you. You need to pray right now. I know there are multitudes of you right now. And the Holy Spirit is telling you, open your heart, call on the name of the Lord. And if you would just do that, you'd have eternal life and your name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we'll see you in heaven. You need to do it. I'll pray to God that you'll do it. And so and finally God says, all right, now it's time. And he says, Noah, get into the ark. And when he went into the ark, and Noah and his family went into the ark, and you know what? God closed the door. That ark had one door, and there's one door to heaven, and that's Jesus. And so this ark has one door. He says, Noah, get in the ark. And Noah didn't lock the door so the people couldn't get in. Believe me, they would be pounding on that door when the waters came up. They would be beating on that door and begging for mercy. But Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And listen to it in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And when he was in the ark, then we read, and the Lord shut him in. Genesis 7, verse 16, God closed the door. Noah didn't close the door. And so we preach today and we beg today that you come to Jesus and call in the name of the Lord and be saved. But we don't have a thing to say about when that last time is going to come and time will be no more and there will be no more chances. That's up to God. And so then God did something else. He not only gave him a lot of time, but he gave him a miracle. A wonderful miracle, and that is all the animals from the land start coming into the ark. The clean animals, 7 by 7, and the unclean animals, 2 by 2. And just in a moment, see, take a look at this. The clean animals, 7. Why an uneven number? There's 3 couples and 1 for a sacrifice. So here God is even making provision for sacrifice. You can give to God if you want to give to God. He'll provide the needs. And so they come, and here they come right up Main Street, uptown. They're tying up traffic. They're cutting across the lawns. The elephants are lumbering by. The rhinos are snorting through the town. The field mice are skipping along. The snakes zipping by. Here comes a couple of old hogs. And they stop and they look in the downtown bar because they're always interested in that kind of place. And then they move on and they enter the ark. And pretty soon all the animals are in. They enter 2 by 2 and 7 by 7. And this, why couldn't you see that? Blind eyes could see that. Wouldn't you think there was something happening at that great miracle before their eyes? But no, they kept on with their parties and making their money and living in sin and living like a dog and living like a hog. And that's the way they lived, and that's the way they perished in the flood, and that's the way they went into hell. Oh, my God. Why can't you get that? Can't you see the need to come to Jesus and just say, Jesus, I'm perishing. Please save me. And he wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but he can't save you unless you ask him in. He stands at the heart's door and knocks, but you have to open that door. Jesus will never pry the door open. He'll never knock the door down. He's not a trespasser. And if you turn him away, you can turn him away all the way to hell. You just can do that. Oh, my God. Think about that. You say, well, if a miracle happened like that today, I'd sure turn to the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you a bigger miracle than that's happened today, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is an historical fact. It's not some myth. There's all kinds of proof that the tomb was empty that first Easter Sunday morning. And whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, an atheist or whatever you are, you've got to admit and confess that tomb was empty the first Easter Sunday morning. Jesus is risen. Now that's a miracle. And you need to turn to God and come to God. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, even though he rose from the dead, people won't listen. The point is, the best way to save people from the flood is for the whole people to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's giving this miracle of the resurrection and the miracle of the life of Christ and the miracles that he committed. Oh, there you have it all. You have the beautiful Bible and all the fulfilled prophecies, prophecies of the minutest detail, all brought to pass, some of them hundreds of years. Even one of the rulers is named 100 years before he was born. And God, there it is. He says, what more can he do to bring you to him? And so they won't listen. And so here it comes. The flood waters came. And how shall I describe it? I guess I'll describe it the way God did. And this is the way he said. He says, the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and of cattle, and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man in all whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. Death, death, death. When it finally was over, Noah emerges from the ark, and the first thing he does, he makes a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Oh, my dear friends, can't you get the message? Don't you get the message? Come to Jesus. Call upon his name. Now, there's one other thing about Noah that I hate to give you, hate to tell you, but it's written in the Bible, and I have to tell you. And here it is. Senseless and drunk, lying naked and exposed on the earth in the presence of his sons, Noah has become drunk, and he's lying on the floor, lying on the dirt. And his sons see him. And this is a sad, sad picture. But it's a sad picture, and we're giving it because I think Noah wants us and God wants us to take a message. And the message is this. If a man of the stature, like Moses, like Noah, can fall, if a man as great and mighty as Noah can fall, so can you and so can I. And I want you to know something else. It was not some hot-blooded, red-blooded, daring young man that did it, but an old gray head. Noah's an old man when he sins so terribly and so wickedly, and it is telling us that just take heed that ye fall. There we're never beyond the tempting of the Satan. And we need to stay close to Christ as long as you can, as close as you can. They want to ask one old pastor, when do you think you're going to be and all temptation's going to stop for you, all the temptations. When's it going to stop? He says, I think maybe a week after I'm dead. The dead will never give up. And so we need to get close to Christ. We need to read that Bible. We need to stay close to the Lord. We must never slacken our pace. We must never take anything for granted. We must stay close to Christ. We must read that Bible every day. We must pray every day. We must keep ourselves humble. We must worship continually and stay close to Christ. And so I want to ask you this question, my friend. What are you going to do when that last judgment comes? It won't be a judgment of water. It'll be a judgment of fire. Fire from God, and the whole earth will be dissolved, St. Peter tells us. Are you ready to meet God? You're not ready until you have Jesus. Why don't you come to Jesus now and just say, dear Jesus, pray with me right now. Wherever you are, whoever you are, all over the world, and just pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and to take away my sin, and I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then tell somebody. And then write to us, and we'll send you some literature. Write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you can send a gift to help us, we have to pay our way like anybody else. And so you need to pray about that, because our only help comes from you folks. And if you worry about how the money's spent, we're a member of the International, and it's an organization called it's a financial accounting, and it's for Christian people. And we every book is audited and kept in the line, and so we have to keep it all straight, and it's all straight as it can possibly be. So you write to us. You got it on the screen there. Don't forget us. A new Christian Worship Hour, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray for you. And every prayer, we pray for a persecuted church. So dear Heavenly Father, we're praying for our people everywhere. We're praying multitudes will come to you and write in so we can send literature. We're praying for the persecuted church in Indonesia, Lord, Indonesia. And especially for the children, the little children are left behind. God, just take care of them, and maybe the time is short, and you come, put an end to the wickedness of man, and then that'll all be done. And dear Jesus, we pray for the shut-ins and the lonely and those who don't know which way to turn. Help them and bless them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're happy that you're with us now, and we hope that we'll hear from you. And remember now, we got it on the screen there, Christian Worship Hour. And to you on the short wave, it's a box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And in this coming week, what do you know? Maybe the Lord will come. If he doesn't, we'll carry on. And we'll carry on and bring more into the kingdom. Just call on the name of the Lord. And we'll just pray that you have a good God is close to you, and that you realize it and know it, that he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. And God loves you, and I want you to know the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we work on these sermons. That's why we work so hard to get the word out to all the world, is because we love you, and we're like God. We don't want anybody to be lost. We want to see you in heaven, and you can be in heaven if you just bow and humble yourself and make that prayer to Jesus. Do it now. Do it today. And then you'll have a good week. And we'll all look forward to next week when we'll gather around the throne of God, all of us at the feet of Jesus, worshiping the Savior. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.